Okay, let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, I do thank you for your word and just the power that it has to change our life. Lord, I thank you for just the opportunity that we as a class have had this year just to go through the Bible together and just glean from the same areas in the Bible at the same time. Lord, it's just been really good. And Lord, I pray you just speak to us today. Lord, put me out of the way as we look into some things that really we as a class and we as a church and we as the body of Christ need to watch out for. God, I pray that you just speak today. Lord, I thank you for the men's conference and just the time of fellowship that it was. Lord, I do pray that the men that weren't there maybe can catch some of the sessions online, and those that were there are just diligent to evaluate our lives and see where we can grow in you, Lord, because none of us have arrived. And so I pray that you would just use it for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so if you have your Bibles, is your husband just skipping class? Or?
Oh, no.
That's all good. If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Jeremiah. We're in Jeremiah again this week. And you might be like, man, this is a really odd place to teach from. Well, that's where we're reading at right now. And so if you're keeping up with the reading, we actually just finished Jeremiah. Was it yesterday? I think is where we should be. I'm not caught up. But if we are keeping on track, that's where we're at. We are at the end of Jeremiah, getting ready to start Lamentations. And so I was going through some of this stuff, and it's been a really busy week, but I was going through some of the stuff that we would have read, and this kind of jumped off the page at me, so to speak. So I've got 12 evidences, right, today, because there's always a list. That's just the way my brain works. It allows me to stay on point. 12, or maybe not 12, 12 ways, we'll call it that. 12, because I've changed the title already. 12 ways to spot a knockoff. Right? 12 ways to spot a knockoff. And what do I mean by when I say knockoff? Have you ever been to, and I don't even know for sure, like where, like a flea market or maybe some of those outdoor markets where you'll walk by and there's like these little carts, and all of a sudden they've got like, you know, maybe like the Coach purses that normally cost $1,000 you can get for $100, and it's like, something seems fishy here. Or, you know, you've got the Oakley sunglasses that normally cost, you know, hundreds of dollars, and like $25. Some things are just too good to be true, right? They're knockoffs. They're not the same. And, you know, normally you can find out why they're not the same because somewhere along the line you're going to find the tag that says it was made in China. But not always. Not everything that was made in China is bad. But sometimes you need the authentic. You need the real thing. You need you need the true, right? And so when I say that, and this isn't even where I'm going with this, but you need to make sure that the book that you hold in your hand is the authentic. It's the true. It's really easy to run to the Christian bookstore and find the next newest, greatest, construction sand plant workers Bible, because there's a Bible for everybody now, right? I mean, they've got the emoji Bible, which I've never seen. I've heard of this thing, but it just makes me shake my head, right? And so there's a way to dumb down everything. Let's just call it what it is. But so you need to be able to find the authentic. So Jeremiah chapter 28, right? Jeremiah chapter 28. And so 12 ways to spot a knockoff, right? But here's what we're looking for: a knockoff teacher or preacher. And so that's kind of goes along with your title. 12 ways to spot a knockoff teacher or preacher. You know, anybody can jump up here and start teaching the Word of God. And if you would like to, sign up. I would love to let you teach. I want you guys to exercise your skills.
You're teaching this the week before I...
No.
12 ways to spot.
That's really funny because it did not even register.
You're not the one teaching that.
Well, yeah, because you're not really going to notice it this week, but next week you're going to be like, huh, maybe. That's really good. Jeremiah chapter 28.
We really tried to set people up for success.
I learned that.
And so in Jeremiah chapter 28, I really didn't do it on purpose, Missy. It's all good. Jeremiah chapter 28. So you'll see another prophet come along, and his name is Hananiah. And so if you'll remember from last week, we taught out of Jeremiah as well, and Jeremiah is set up a lot like the same thing, right? Jeremiah comes rolling in. Hey, this is what God said. You guys are acting like a bunch of, you know, idiot sticks. If you don't straighten up, his wrath is coming. And they're like, no, I don't think so. And so they get so mad at him that they try to kill him. He somehow escapes. He's a lot like Paul in the New Testament. And then he's like, okay, whew, I made it. And then God's like, hey, okay, here's now what I want you to go tell him. He's like, again? And that's kind of how the book of Jeremiah plays out. There's a lot of different things that roll on. But Jeremiah is the prophet. He is the spokesman of God. He is the mouthpiece of God in this time. And if you know, like I said, you guys know how Past Point rolls out. I like to give you something that you can take out of here and hold on to. But at the same time, I want you to know what's really going on in the Bible as well. This is Jeremiah is the prophet that's really preparing the nation of Israel to either repent of their ways or set them up for what's coming. And what's coming is they're going to come and they're going to sack Jerusalem and they're going to be in captivity for what? How many years? For 70 years, right? And so he said it over and over again. That's the way it is. And so that's really what's happening. And these guys, these kings are like, no, that's not what's going to happen. And quit saying it because you're going to make people believe you. And we want them to believe us because, you know, we're living high on the hog. We're the king. And so that's kind of how the book of Jeremiah plays out. But so you get to chapter 28. And another prophet comes rolling in, right? This another, and so first off, don't get me wrong. Another teacher coming in, it has nothing to do with Mitchell teaching next week. Another preacher standing in the pulpit at HBF. Another person getting an opportunity. Those are good things, right? There's a reason that Brian doesn't preach every single week. It's good for the congregation to see missionaries step in, right? And share about the work. There's a reason that Brian, our pastor, sets it up where anytime that there's a fifth Sunday, he circulates. I don't know the word I'm looking for. You know, there's a rotation of the other pastors, so you guys can hear from the other leaders in the church. That's a good thing. So just because there's another teacher isn't a bad thing. So I want to just clarify that before we get going. But in this case, this one isn't such a great way. And so I'm going to give you some ways that we can spot a knockoff teacher or preacher. So Jeremiah chapter 20, I'll just read a little bit of this and then we'll kind of circle back around. Because it's not really a very long chapter. And it says, it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and of all the people, saying, thus spaketh the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel. He's using the right wordage. He's using the right verbiage, right? The God of Israel saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Well, if you guys know anything, the king of Babylon is who comes and is going to take over Jerusalem, right? And so it's the prophecy that they've already heard. And he's like, hey, I'm going to break the yoke of this guy that's supposedly going to put you guys in bondage, is what he's getting at. He says, within two full years, I will bring again this place to the vessels of the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them into Babylon. And I will bring again this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went back to Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Right, and so there's already several that we've looked at, but I just wanted to kind of get through a little bit to get our minds going. So this guy comes rolling in, and he's like, hey, the stuff that Jeremiah's been telling you, it's probably going to happen. But guess what? God's given me a word as well. And this is what he said. And, you know, and how do you know? And this is where we as the church, or the nation of Israel at the time, how do we know what the true word of God is? Because these guys are coming in saying this is what it is. Well, guess what, church, or guess what, class, or whatever you want to be? We have the word of God. We can put the words of the speaker, the preacher, the teacher, to the test week in and week out. These guys didn't have the same thing, right? Back in the day, they had the law written out, you know, and they could go find that. But when it came to what the prophecy was, that, hey, this is getting ready to happen, you know, you basically had to live by, you know, what I've seen, right? You know, it's, I guess it's more about your your reputation. You know, you've told me truth before, so I'm going to trust you again. So these guys are really in a bad spot. So here, I'm going to give you the first one, right? In verse 1, here's one way to spot a knockoff. They use false credentials. They use false credentials. You're like, what are they talking about? Well, this guy came in and, you know, he was teaching, and he said that, you know, he'd been to this Bible college for this many years, and he's been to this church for so long, and, you know, he's done this many things, and, you know, he's given me all these things that sound really good. But is it true, right? This guy comes rolling in and he said that Hananiah, the son of Azur the prophet, which was in Gibeon. So he comes rolling in and he's like, hey, do you know my dad? Oh, well, yeah, because I'm his son, I've got something to say. It doesn't say anything about the prophet of God that I'm hearing. He's using false credentials. You'll see people come rolling in, not so much into this church, but you'll see people go in, you know, the TV preachers, you know, and they've got all the credentials, but are they the true credentials? You know, I've seen people come through this church. I've seen people challenge our HBI students and say, you know, well, where'd you go to school at? It's not accredited. Oh, well, then they're trusting in a piece of paper as opposed to something true, something you can really hold on to, right? So they use false credentials, right? Here's another one in verse 1. They speak generally in large groups. They avoid the one-on-one conversations with people because that's when they can be put to test. They speak generally in large groups. What's it say? He says, he spake unto the house of the Lord in the presence of the priest and of all the people. He jumps in front of everybody and he says, hey, I got a word from the Lord. And here's what it is. There's, you know, it'd be like, you know, Brian getting up there on a Sunday morning or somebody getting in there and say, well, this is what it says. Well, generally on a Sunday morning, you don't have somebody jump up and say, are you sure? Right? Now, if you're sitting down with them one-on-one or if you're in a smaller group, somebody might say, is that really what it says? Or can you show me that's where it says? But even on a Sunday morning, like if Brian says something that, not that I don't disagree with, but I'm like, wow, I've never really seen that before. I'm not just like, hey, Brian, can you show me where that's at? Instead, I write it down and I'm like, I want to study that thing out for myself. And then if I find out that something's wrong, I never have, but that's how I would approach it. But they speak in large groups, right? A knockoff, they get in this big group because nobody can really call them out. You know, you see the TV preacher and he gets up there and I don't think I've ever seen somebody jump up and, you know, the thousands of people in their congregation. I can't, because most of them are just there, but I don't know.
Even if they did, he wouldn't be able to hear them.
Hear them, or he wouldn't even, you know, acknowledge them, right? You know, it's like the big evangelists, and not the big evangelists are bad, but, you know, they go into these stadiums and they preach the word or what their version of the word, but there's no way to put it to the test, right? And not that those things are bad, but when it's always that way, these are just ways that you can spot, right? And so you're good to go because Passpoint's not a huge class, so you don't have to worry about it. At Passpoint, people stop me all the time. And they're like, huh? Oh, whatever. Anyway. They speak in large groups, right? That's another way that you can spot them. They speak in large groups. Verse 3, here's another thing that they do that you can spot out. They like to put timetables on things. They like to put timetables, right? You remember back in the, and I don't really remember this, but I've heard people tell me this, you know, the book, you know, 89 Reasons That the Lord's Going to Return in 1989 or something like that. I think it was a book, right? Or there's been how many books? There's how, huh? Yeah, how many different books have been written on when, this is when the Lord's coming back and here's this many reasons why, and it's come and went, you know, and then you don't ever hear from them again. That's crazy. But they've got their 10 minutes of fame because it's coming up. They like to put timetables on things. In verse 3, he says, within 2 full years, I'll bring again this place to the vessels of the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them into Babylon. He says, this is what's going to happen. In 2 years, which that might seem like a long time, but if you realize what Jeremiah's been telling him before, he's been saying 70 years. And so it's going to be a lot longer of a time frame, right? He says, just in 2 years, this is going to happen. He's trying to gain favor of these people. He's trying to get them to come along and say, well, that sounds a whole lot better, right? That's kind of like, your Bible version. Well, I like the way that that one sounds better. So, but then on that verse, well, I like the way that this one over here sounds better. And it makes me wonder, do they like carry a backpack with six different Bible versions when they come to church? That way they can just pick and choose from each verse which one they like the best? Or how does that work? I don't know. But they like to put timetables on things. They like to come in and say, you know, if this is going to happen, or, you know, you hear old, I try not to use names, but the big church preacher, you know, if you'll just invest in this right now, then in just a short amount of time, this will happen, right? That's a prosperity gospel. That's not how it works. I'll tell you straight up, you might put your entire life in to the body of Christ right now, and you might not see any of it until eternity. That's the true word of God. No, it's not always that way. And sometimes God will give you little, you know, kisses and say, hey, because you're being faithful, I'm going to, you know, give you a little. But it's not like that all the time, and I'm not going to be the guy who comes up here and says that's how it's going to be. Right? Because that's not how it works. They like to put timetables on things. One more thing that you'll see in this little passage right here is they like to only tell you the good news. They like to only tell you the good part of the story. Right? They only tell you the part that they think is relevant, right, to you. They left out the part where it says that, oh yeah, and if you don't do this, then this is probably going to happen to you. If this doesn't, if you don't, right? They only tell you the good part of it. He says, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years, I'll bring again in this place all the vessels of the house of the Lord. Vessels of the Lord's house, so that Nebuchadnezzar broke the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them into Babylon. I will bring again this place to Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that break into Babylon, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. He only tells you the good part. These are all the things that I'm going to do for you. He forgets to tell you the part that if you're not faithful, right? Which, I mean, he probably wasn't hearing the real word of God anyway, or the real word. But even if he was, he forgot the part that Jeremiah's been saying, that if you'll just hear me, none of this will happen in the first place. If you'll just repent, none of this will happen. Right? Even several chapters forward, I was reading this just yesterday. I'm trying to find it because I want to show you that. Right here. And chapter 36, right? Even then, and this is where you're getting really close to what's going to happen. You don't have to turn there. I'm just kind of... this is where Jeremiah has... what's the guy's name? Baruch write down the word of God on the scroll, right? And then he has him go and read it to the people. And then the king's like, I don't want to hear it. And he burns it in the fire. And then, you know, he's like, okay, well, Jeremiah, have him read it again. You know, and it's just a proof of how the word of God... can continually come, and that's how we one of the ways we got our word of God. But anyway, at the beginning of that chapter, it talks about how in verse 3, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity. God still was giving them a chance. If you'll just repent, then this won't happen. It just kept happening. If you will... God knew that they wouldn't, but he was trying to prove the fact that if they would have, then he would have been gracious, right? The false teacher, the false prophet, the false evangelist, they'll get up here and they'll tell you the good news, right? You know, you'll hear an evangelist get up and say, all you have to do is pray this prayer and you're saved. Well, that's partially true, right? But he forgot the part that you have to put your entire faith in Christ, right? And you do get saved by faith alone, through grace alone. But in turn, that provokes good works from you, right? Not that good works have anything to do with your salvation, but you always forget to hear that part from the, you know, the big name evangelist, right? You know, just believe and be saved. Well, that's true. But then what? But then what? If that's the case, then, you know, America is a Christian country. Because everybody's done that. Maybe not everybody, but... But that's not the true gospel. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, accept my word, you know, repent and be saved. Not that repentance is a part of it, but repentance is a natural reaction to the action of salvation, which is what? Receiving Christ by grace alone, through faith alone. Right? And so when we receive that, that provokes us to good works. Now all of a sudden I'm like, hey, I see a need over here. I want to help them. Hey, I've got somebody that's needing help. Normally I wouldn't want to help them, but I'll go help out. Oh, you're moving? Oh, I love to carry heavy refrigerators. Can I help? Right? Hey, we need help in the children's wing. I don't like kids. Can I jump in? Right? It provokes you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. That's the true gospel, but they always forget to leave those parts out, that it's going to cause you to do things. Hananiah's like, hey, this is what's going to happen. In 2 years, this is going to be all good, right? But he forgot to tell them that if you don't quit being knotheads, then, well, what Jeremiah was saying is probably going to come to pass. It really probably is going to come full circle. That's the way it works out. Guys, we have to be careful. And you have to be careful getting all your information from one place, unless that place is the Word of God. Don't find one preacher that you really like to listen to. Right? Don't find one podcast that you just really love. That's fine, and you can listen to that, but make sure you're hearing from multiple things, because sometimes you'll find out that, sometimes in Passpoint, you'll find out that doesn't completely, he was on the right track there, but don't ever take my word for it. And I'll be the first one to tell you that. Don't ever just take my word for it. If you see something that's like, hey, I'm not sure about that, a lot of times it's like, yeah, I'm picking up what you're throwing down, and I just totally miscommunicated it. Because that happens, right? I've had people come to me after class or after I've taught, and they're like, hey, that was, you know, good, and we'll start chatting, and it's like, hey, what? Explain this to me a little bit more. And a lot of times we'll find out that we're on the same track. It just came across completely wrong. I'm not very good with words, right? I stumble over myself all the time. So don't ever just take my word for it. Don't ever just be like, well, that's what he says, so that's how it's got to be. Don't ever find yourself in that boat. Whether it be, and I'm sure Brian's going to tell you something, don't ever just take him. Don't ever find one, you know, preacher that you just really love. Because you might find some things that you like from him that are spot on, but then they get in some other stuff and it's like, that's not spot on. Right? So you need to make sure that you're comparing Scripture with Scripture. At the end of the day, this book needs to be the final authority, not any one person that you're listening to. And I want to put myself out there first to say, don't always just take my word for it. You know, not that I'm out here trying to lie to you. That's not what I'm getting at. But there's a lot of times things come across wrong. And it's happened so many times that, you know, I just want to put it out there. So anyway, they like to only tell you the good news. Let's read on a little bit in verse 5. Because this is generally what happens. The true preachers, the true spokesman for God, they'll let this go on for a minute, but eventually they're going to put a stop to it. Eventually Jeremiah's like, okay, I've heard enough. Then the prophet Jeremiah, verse 5, said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of all the priests, he calls him out right in front of everybody, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. And Hananiah's like, huh? I really thought you were going to challenge me. Right? He says, amen. Because he realizes that what you said is true. Part of it. Right? He says, amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord, of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon to this place. He's like, you're right. That's going to happen. I've been saying that's going to happen. Right? But that, amen. And the guy's like, wait a minute, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, because something's not right here. Verse 7, nevertheless, hear now this word that I spoke in thine ears, and in all the ears of the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and pestilence. And the prophet which prophesied in peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Right, and he's like, hey man, preach, brother. But, and wait a minute, I already started talking again, but there's no time for that. Right? But, right? Here's the next thing next way you can spot, you know, a knockoff. They like to put timetables on things. They like to only tell you the good news. Verse 5 and 6. They like to tell you half-truths. They like to tell you half-truths. Right? What is the old saying? There's a little bit of truth in every lie. It makes it believable. There's a little bit of truth in every lie. You know, your kids come home late. which, praise the Lord, my kids aren't driving yet, so I don't have to deal with this too much. But they come home late, and, well, why are you late? Well, I was with my friends, right? Well, that part of the story is true. I think from here it's going to get bad, right? But whatever it is, you know, there's a little bit of truth. Never, they could tell you half-truths. This guy came in, Hananiah comes in, he's like, so this is what's going to happen. The Lord's going to bring all these vessels back to the house, right? And he's like, Jeremiah's like, amen. You're exactly right. He says, amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again all the vessels of the house of the Lord that thou hast carried away from Babylon to this place. He's like, you're right. That's going to happen. The Lord will bring all of those things back. But where does it say anything about 2 years? Right? There's a little bit of truth in it. He only told you part of the truth. You're right. That's going to happen. But that's only part of the truth. Right? Only part of that was real. They only tell you half-truths. Verse 9, here's another one. Another way to spot it off. They have no credibility. How do you gain credibility from somebody? How do you gain credibility from somebody?
Time and experience.
Time and experience. You've shown over time, through your experience, through your work, through the things that you have already done, that you're reliable. That your word is true. That you can be trusted, right? That's a credible person. You know, I know that when Brian Hedges gets up there, I've heard enough sermons from that guy that his word's credible. And I'm going to have to hear several that aren't credible, that aren't aligned with the Word of God before I'm going to start thinking, this guy has just completely lost his mind. Now, you might hear one, and it's like, okay, that doesn't make sense, and I can judge those things myself. I'm not saying I just, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid. But I've heard enough credibility. I pray that you guys have heard enough credibility through the Word of God, through the teaching, that it's like, I can trust that person. Same thing in the workplace, right? There's some credibility. You know, what time did you guys get here? Because I wasn't here when you guys got here. Oh, we were here at 3 this morning, right? Well, that's funny because it looks like you only been here for about 10 minutes, right? But you gain some trust in somebody because they proved themselves, right? They've shown that they are trustworthy, that they are credible. They've got enough experience in something that it's like, hey, I've seen you run enough equipment that I think that you could run this piece of equipment, right? You're credible on it. Right? Your past has spoken for itself. This guy's the opposite. He has no credibility. Verse 9, it says, thy prophet which prophesieth in peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. He's like, your words sound really good, but guess what? All the prophets before you, they really didn't have a whole lot of good to say. They didn't come in and say, hey, the Lord's going to do all this good stuff to you. Really, every prophet before you has come in and said that if you don't straighten up, then the Lord is going to chastise you. And now all of a sudden you're preaching this prosperity gospel. Where's your credibility at? Something's not lining up here. There's no credibility. A knockoff has no credibility. You know, you go in and you try to buy the fake Oakleys because they look right, and the next thing you find out is, you know, they're leaving green streaks on your face, or, you know, that's jewelry, but you know, whatever, something's not right. There's no credibility. I just totally crossed over two different things.
Really, really bad if your sunglasses are moving green.
Hey, you know, whatever. You know, it's like the knockoff purse or the knockoff bag. That thing's always tearing up. There's no quality in it. There's no credibility in it. It's the same thing with the people that you're hearing from, is their credibility in their word. I don't ever want, especially somebody new, to come into Passpoint and be like, well, these other people come, so it must be good. That's totally bogus. Anytime I ever invite somebody to Passpoint, I'm like, hey, you know, we're kind of like the young adult class, young at heart. We, you know, not that we're any better, but we are different. And so if you want to come and try it out, that's great. Come and hear it. You know, especially if they're new to the church. Come and try it out for a couple weeks, and then go try some of the other classes for a couple weeks and decide where you fit best. I'm not ever just like, you should come because it's great. Right? Or, and it's like Brian when he was talking about camp that day in front of everybody. He was nervous and he was like, camp was awesome. It was good. Right? You should come. Camp was awesome. It was good. You should come. And I give him a hard time. I'm not just talking about him. But don't ever just be like, hey, you got to come to this because, you know, it's great. No, come and hear it a few times. You know, see if there's any credibility in the word. You know, and figure out where you fit best. That's always my encouragement. I pray that's what you guys are encouraging as well. Invite people to Pass Point. You know, invite them. Tell them what you like about it. You know, don't maybe tell them what you don't like about it, but tell them what you like about it, and you know, tell them to come try it out. Not that you got to stay. Not that, you know, hey, you got to join the... Forget the whole joining the class thing. Whatever. I'll come up here and I'll teach if it's just my wife. Because I know she's going to be here. She's got to, right? But she doesn't have to if she chooses to. But whether there's one or 40 in here, I don't care. I do care because I want the word. But at the end of the day, I'm just doing what I'm told to do. So you have to judge credibility on your own. Now, you can take somebody else's word for something. You know, if I know of a person that is very reliable to me, you know, like, okay, at work, we're trying to hire people. We're always trying to hire people at work because you cannot find good help. And so if I have a guy that is he's good at work, and he comes and he's like, hey, I got a guy that is looking for a job. You know, something came up and, you know, he's looking. A lot of times, I'm like, have him come in. He's hired. Because I'm going to take your credibility because you are something, and I'm like, you're putting your name out there. Now, we've also got a guy at work that has brought a couple guys in. This guy's completely credible, and both of the guys that he's brought in have been complete failures. And he's like, I'm never bringing anybody else in. Because he's just like, I'm not putting my name out there ever again. So we give him a really hard time about it. But I'm going to take somebody, you know, your credibility can transfer over. But your credibility can also be knocked down if you're going to be throwing out things that aren't true, that aren't reliable. You know what I mean? So, okay, they have no credibility. Verse 10. Then Hananiah the prophet. So he's like, okay, well, you just called me out on my words. Now what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to do some works then, right? If my words aren't enough, I'm going to do some work. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. Now, if you wanted to talk about why he's wearing a yoke on his neck, we don't have enough time. You have to go back and read Jeremiah to figure out what's going on there. But anyway, took the yoke that was from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Okay, so my words aren't going to, you know, speak for themselves. Okay, it's time for me to do something, right? It's time for me to do... Here's the next way you can spot. And it's not always like this. These are just ways to spot it. You can't just go find one of these things in somebody and say, Jason said, you're bogus, you're out. You can find one of these things in a lot of people. These are ways to spot, right? There's times I wonder if you guys are just like, especially Philip, he can go out and be like, you're out. Not really. I just said that because he was laughing. What the heck just happened? Anyway, so here's the next thing, the way that you can spot it. They do things in the power of their flesh. They do things in the power of their flesh. Well, look what I can do then, right? Look what I can do then. If my words aren't going to speak for themselves and you're going to challenge them, then what about my works? What about the things I can do, right? They do things in the power of their flesh. Look what I can do. Look what I can do. Moving on, here's the next thing, the way you can spot it. So they like to do things in the power of their flesh. They like to perform quote-unquote miracles to gain followers. Right? How many times have you heard, and this happens a lot in like charismatic circles, but, you know, I was healed, right? We healed this person. Right? What'd you say?
We watched a movie called The Holy Spirit. They went around doing the healing, and they would put their hands on people and go, double it! Double it!
Double it.
Because they're doubling the blessings of God. It was hilarious.
It turned into a real comedy real fast.
No, that is really, really funny. But I do want to say, because I don't want to take away from the power of God, people can be healed. People can be transformed. I was taken from a lost sinner destined for hell, and in an instant was transformed into the opposite, right? So God can perform miracles. I've seen God heal people. Not like, I've seen the work of God transform lives, right? I've heard missionaries come up, right? The guy from Mexico, Joe Hendriksman, right? Both times he's been here, he's told a story that I'm like, if it wasn't for your credibility, I would think you're a lunatic, right? But sometimes the credibility transfers the, right? He talked about being up in the mountains, and you know they were dealing with some satanic worship, and not they were teaching it, they were dealing with some of it, right? And something about like a little dust devil. I don't even remember the whole story, but both times I heard it, I'm like, this guy has lost his ever-loving mind. But because of his credibility, I'm like, this guy ain't going to stand up there and lie to me. So things do happen, especially in other cultures, right? Lauren, I'm sure, could speak of some things in India, right? And so, you know, those things do happen. Once again, is there credibility behind the person that's telling the story, right? If every week we've got to get out and do some healing to bring people back next week, I'm not sure, right? So the Hananiah is like, okay, if you're not going to believe my words, then watch what I can do, right? I'm going to break this yoke, this bondage that you have on you, and it's going to be gone. Look what I can do. Now do you believe me? It's a miracle. Right? They like to perform miracles to gain followers. You know, and it's like the whole speaking in tongues thing, right? There was some legitimacy to it. I was going to say legitimacy to it. Man, because legit's not really a word, but we say it, so it's like a legitimacy. But there was some legitimacy to it in the book of Acts, right? God was doing something. But God has also changed the way the dispensation works now, right? And we know that from the Word of God. Once and only once I witnessed this whole speaking in tongues thing. And it only took once for me to realize that I didn't need anything to do with that, right? And so I was at a men's conference. It wasn't yesterday, so, you know, for those of you who didn't. I went to this men's conference with a guy that had gained some credibility in my life, and so I trusted him. I was lost at the time, but and he's like, hey, will you come to this to me? Or come to this with me? Yeah, I'll go. And the entire thing was complete bogus. It was enough to seal the deal for me, especially as a lost person, to never go back to that place again. But anyway, so they do their worship, right? And so, you know, they get done worshiping, and it was just like on cue, because this must be the way it happens every single time they get together, you know, right before somebody starts praying, every single one of them start mumbling under their breath. Because they're speaking in tongues, right? The Holy Spirit has just descended upon us. And I'm like, come on now. There was some legitimacy to this in the book of Acts. God was spreading His word faster than He could any other way. People were understanding language. It'd be like if somebody come walking in here speaking Spanish and I'm like tracking with them. I don't speak Spanish. But you know, a lot of times that's what, you know, you were able to understand languages that you didn't speak before. Or somebody would speak, I don't know why I'm teaching you guys about tongues right now in the book of Acts, we can do that some other time, but somebody would get up and speak and there would be people from different languages sitting here. So like, maybe you speak Italian, or is that a language? French. Okay, anyway, maybe you speak Spanish, or maybe you speak Indian, or you speak Hindi, or you speak, I don't know. And so there's different languages that you speak, but you don't speak English. And yeah, America. Maybe you speak these different, and I would get up here and speak in English, but you would all hear it in your own tongue, right? That was one of the first ways that speaking in tongues happened, right? You were able to hear it. It was like that. Now, it's not the only way, but that was one of them. So anyway, we don't have time to talk about all that. You guys are getting me all off track. All right. They perform miracles to gain followers. Moving on. Verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came into Jeremiah the prophet after the Hananiah had broken the yoke from off his neck. The prophet Jeremiah saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord. So Jeremiah's like, okay, fine. If that's what you're going to do, go tell this guy this is what God's going to do. Because I'm done, right? He says, go tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. You just caused more problems, dude. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put yokes of iron upon the necks of all those nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Okay, so I'm going to roll through these last ones pretty quickly because I'm out of time. So the ninth way that you can spot a knockoff, right? They end up making things worse instead of better. They come in and they're just going to solve all the problems, right? A lot of times this happens. You'll have an organization come in to like a foreign country, and they're like, we're just going to make everything better. And by the time they leave, it's like, this is no better than it was before. It's actually worse. We would have been better off. They make things worse instead of better. I don't really have time, a lot of time to explain on that, but you can just kind of pick up what I'm saying. Number 10, they are went, not sent. What do I mean by that? It says, I gotta find it because the word went popped off the page to me, so I had to. I'm trying to find it. Yes, okay, you're right. Sent. Yeah, that's right. And the prophet Jeremiah said unto Hananiah, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee. Right? A true man of God will be sent from where he came from. I don't just decide one day, it's time for us to go plant a church, Paige. Let's go. That's not going to happen anyway. Like, we might go plant a church, I don't know, but God's going to have to be the one that says, get. Right? That's not just, hey, I want to go do that. I'm not just going to decide one day, I'm going to go be a missionary somewhere. Now, if God sends us somewhere, it's completely different. So make sure that the man of God who comes in and is speaking, that they're a sent one, not a went one. Right? Okay.
What was number 10? I'm sorry.
10. They are went, not sent. Yeah. That's how the phrase goes. Don't be a went one, be a sent one. Right? Anyway. Number 11. Verse 15, they cause people to trust in a lie. That's what he says. Jeremiah's like, you've caused this people to trust in a lie. Yeah, you came in and did this miracle. Look, you can break the yoke of wood. Good for you. Guess what? Now God's got a yoke of iron on him. And that can't be broken. That's what he's saying. These nations, they're bound to what's going to happen. Right? That's what's going to happen. They cause the people to trust in a lie. And the last one, because we're out of time. Sorry, guys. I should have done better at spacing my time out here. But the last one. They're never in one place for long. They're never in one place for long. You see a person in a ministry, they're here for a while, then they're there for a while, then they're there for a while. A teacher that comes along, and I've taught here, and well, then God moved me here, and then God moved me here, and I'm like, man, God's done a lot of moving in your life. What's going on there? Right? And sometimes it happens, but they're never in one place for long. And that's what happens. Jeremiah's like, I don't know where you came from, but God's done told me where you're going. He's not cool with what you're doing, and it's not going to work out here. Right? And so those are the ways you can spot a knockoff, right? So make sure you really evaluate Mitchell next week when he's teaching. Not really. I'm excited to hear it. And so make sure you record it. I'll get you the stuff. Anyway, I'm excited. So I'll send you guys a text on the cleaning stuff as soon as I work out some details with anybody that can be here. I do appreciate it. So anybody got any questions or anything before we roll? Sorry for going a little bit over. Everybody all good? All right. Let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for just your word, just speaking to us. God, once again, I thank you for just the opportunity for us as a class to be able to read through the Bible together. Because sometimes when we get into these parts of the Bible and the prophets, and sometimes we can really get bogged down with what you're trying to do, Lord. But the fact that we're going through this together, we're able to bounce questions off of each other, you know, because we're all going through it at the same time. And hey, what did you get from this? And so, Lord, I do pray that the things that you put on my heart to teach out of what we're reading through are things that are relevant. It shows that these parts of the Bible aren't just fluff, Lord, but there's a lot there if we take the time to study it, Lord. I do pray that we would be diligent in our lives to spot knockoffs, Lord, that we would just want the authentic, the true, the real, Lord. You are what is true. We do know that we have the true Word of God and that we will hold fast to it. God, I pray you just send us out this week as lights in a dark world, that you would just use us, that we would walk through doors that you open, that we would be bold to share your Word. And I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. I'll see you.